woman. I don't believe you, you're not the truth. No one could look as good as you.
Mercy.
Pretty woman, won't you pardon me? Pretty woman, I couldn't help but see. Pretty woman,
how do you like that little growl by Roy Orbison? The great Roy Orbison and Pretty Woman. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, May the 11th. Wow. In a few minutes, Douglas Blair of the Daily Signal is going to join us. We are going to talk about the Roe versus Wade protest that he witnessed at the home of Supreme Court Justice Neil Kavanaugh. And you'll get a firsthand report on that, so stay tuned. Meantime, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis gets good news on two fronts. Number one, his wife, Casey DeSantis, has returned to the campaign trail with him after her battle with cancer, looking good, and a judge has dismissed a lawsuit against Ron DeSantis for his legal action against Walt Disney. So good news for him. We're going to get some thoughts on that as well as a few other things from the proprietor of the Barber Pole himself, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. And we bring back Campus Quackery in another edition. Today, we are going to set our sights on a school in Rhode Island that wants to end honors programs. What? Honors program. They don't want any more honors program. Everybody's going to be equal. So we're going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 names for boys last year, according to the government, 2021. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, you got to get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's not a salon. It's not one of these places where, you know, you're sitting next to a woman in a curlers or anything like that. It's a man's barbershop. You get in there and you're going to get the best haircut you can find in Tampa Bay. They're located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Call for your appointment first, please, 727-733-3773. So, Joe Biden gets on TV again yesterday trying to tell us how great everything is and how much he's doing to curb inflation in the meantime. Inflation soars 8.3% in April. It's hovering near a 40-year high. I don't have to tell you that if you go to the store or you go anywhere and try and spend any money. You know that already. I got to go and get gas a little bit later on. I'm going to have to take out a loan, Ed, to get my car filled up. It's getting scary out there. It's about $4 and I don't know what. It jumped a few cents from the other day again.
Yeah, I believe soon they're going to take the pay at the pump thing off there, and you can't put your credit card in there anymore. You're going to have to walk to the cashier and hand over the deed to your house.
Yes.
If you want to fill up.
Or your firstborn.
Yeah.
It's getting terrible. So here's Biden. I don't know if you got a chance to watch him, Ed. First of all, I don't think he's becoming less and less coherent. And he did take some questions. One of them was from a reporter that mentioned what Rick Scott said about him. And Rick Scott really tore into him.
Said things like he was incoherent and stuff like that.
Yeah, and should resign.
Should resign.
But he's been using Rick Scott as a foil. Mm. He's been saying that Rick Scott's tax plan is the Republicans' tax plan. It's not even going to see the light of day. It's not going to go for a vote. And no other Republican is backing it. But it was a plan that would include taxes for everybody. Mm. In other words, even those, you know, almost 50%, maybe more, of our country, they don't pay tax because they're at a certain low income level.
Right.
The rest of us pay. And Rick Scott wanted to have what he called skin in the game for everybody, you know, to be involved. But anyway, that's not going to see the light of day. But the Democrats are grasping it like you would be grasping a rock in a raging river trying to hold on from drowning. I mean, that's all they can use right now because everything is going south for the Democrats. The Labor Department said yesterday, or today rather, the Consumer Price Index, which is a broad measure of, you know, the price for the main things like gas, groceries, and rent, went up 8.3% in April from a year ago. 8.3%. I mean, it's just been one bad news thing after another. So, I don't know. I don't know what Biden continues to blame Republicans and Russia for everything that's going wrong.
Republicans and Russia. The mega crowd.
Now I got this super mega or something like that. Mega.
I saw his delivery yesterday. It was almost as if they had just woke him out of a sleep.
Yes.
Because he was just kind of like, I'm still talking about the mega.
If you look at him talking about 20 or some years ago, he was much more vibrant and he had a powerful voice, and he certainly has lost more than a step.
Well, we all were at 50 and when we were 70,
exactly right.
It was a lot different. But
true.
But being president takes a toll. I mean,
that's right.
Yeah,
even when you're in great shape.
Yeah.
You come. Look at a guy after 4 years and then after 8 years.
And Trump's the only one that didn't look worse for wear after he was finished.
Yeah, he thrived on it.
He thrived
on the attention, I think.
You look at Obama, he's all gray now. I mean.
Yes, he is. Right. No, it does. It takes its toll. In the meantime, speaking of Trump, you know, he had all of these races going on because we had the primaries yesterday in several states. A couple of hours after former President Donald Trump celebrated the victory of a Republican congressman who won his primary in West Virginia, he then lost, his clout in Nebraska took a hit after the guy he was backing there lost in the Republican governor's primary. So, you know, he's mostly the guys that he has been backing have been winning. The guy in Nebraska that won is a multimillionaire hog farmer and a regent at the University of Nebraska. So that guy wins. Let's see. And then he's got this Dr. Oz. That's coming up in Pennsylvania. Now, Donald Trump has endorsed this guy, Dr. Oz. It has split Trump's political world and millions of supporters across the country. A lot of people don't trust this guy, Dr. Oz, as being a true conservative. And the guy he's running against is a former hedge fund executive by the name of David McCormick, who happens to be a West Point graduate. So that'll be an interesting race. In Idaho, Donald Trump is backing Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeachin, who is one of seven primary challengers running for the governorship against the incumbent, who is a Republican there, Brad Little. So it'll be very interesting to see. We got all these different races coming up. I'm thinking that the Democrats are going to get torched in November because a lot of these Republicans are just, with everything going the way that it's going right now, you may be able to count the number of Democratic members of Congress in one hand after November, but we will see. Anyway, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Doug Blair, who is a news producer for the Daily Signal, about his experience at Justice Kavanaugh's home and Roe versus Wade protesters.
I say This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works on a Wednesday. And, you know, we've had all of these protests going on at the homes of some of the conservative justices of the Supreme Court in light of that leak of the Roe versus Wade opinion, a draft of an opinion that was apparently written by Justice Sam Alito. But in the meantime, these protests are going on, and Doug Blair, who is a news producer for the Daily Signal, he's also co-host of the Daily Signal podcast, was at Justice Brett Kavanaugh's home, and he described the situation there is one of the scariest things he's ever witnessed. Doug, welcome to Freedom Works. What did you mean by that when you said that?
Well, thanks so much for having me on.
Sure.
What I mean by that is the mentality that we seem to have sunk in as a country, that we've now moved from it's acceptable to protest and express your grievances in the public square. That's not enough anymore. It's now changed to, unless you do what I want, I'm going to go to your private residence, I'm going to yell, and I'm going to scream, I'm going to try to intimidate you to vote the way I want you to in important decisions. That's not American. That's what they do in third world countries.
Indeed. And it's also this intimidation, actually, to intimidate a judge that might be hearing a case, whatever the case is clearly, it's not legal, right?
Right. So there's been a number of different laws that have been cited as an example of why you can't do this. But I think one of the things that we lose when we try to wrap this up in legality is that it's just not in our nature. As Americans, we have freedom of speech, we have freedom of assembly. But what does it say about the morality of a country when the legal processes that we are trusting to, you know, make sure that we are living in a society of law, those are being thrown aside by unhinged activists who are going to use their sort of heckler's veto or the mob veto to get what they want. I mean, it just kind of indicates that these people are way out of step with the American people if they believe that this is the way to get things done.
Indeed. So one of the reporters did put it to Jen Psaki, the press secretary for Joe Biden, about these visits to these Supreme Court justices' homes. She kind of hedged her bet on whether or not something like that should be allowed, right?
Right. Well, I mean, I want to just let your listeners know that it is absolutely shameful how the administration has responded to these protests. Again, I don't want anybody to come away from this interview thinking that the right to protest isn't important. It absolutely is, and they have the right to do it. The difference between what they are doing and what I saw is that one of those is like actually designed to target the lawmakers. It's, hey, I want this type of policy put into place. This was mob rule. And the Biden administration should know better, especially after what we witnessed back in 2020 with all of this rioting, that it doesn't just end with, I'm going to your house. It starts to happen where, oh, maybe your kid is leaving the home and I'll do something like that. I was talking with one of your producers before we went on the show, and Antifa, the Black Bloc people who burned down cities back in 2020, they showed up at Alito's place. That, to me, was very disturbing and an indication that we might be moving into a new phase of these protests.
Yeah, it's dangerous. And now I guess the justices, through an act of Congress, will be protected perhaps a little bit more. But I guess you can, you know, you can get your signs together and your groups together. You could go in front of the Supreme Court, and you're allowed to protest if you're peaceful. You're not hurting anybody. You can go to our, you know, our buildings like that. But whenever you go down somebody's street and you get in front of their house, that, for me, you're turning from being a protester into being part of a mob.
Absolutely. And I think what's so important here is that the reason they feel like they need to do this is because they're scared. I think that what has happened in America is a revitalization of a culture of life that hasn't existed for the last 50 years under Roe v. Wade. And when I witness these protesters and their anger and their hatred towards the justices, you could sort of tell that they were on the back foot. They were scared that, you know, oh God, our abortion regime is going away. Because this culture of life that we have so carefully nurtured for the last 50 years is starting to pan out. And I think that's a really positive development that, you know, these protesters feel like they're being cornered. I think it just takes a little bit longer. We just need to wait a little bit longer, and hopefully the justices do right, they do justice, and they overturn a decision in Roe v. Wade that should have been done 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wonder how the press, and I wonder, you know, the mainstream press, of course, and the administration would have reacted had the shoe been on the other foot and protesters go running up to, let's say, Justice Sotomayor, a liberal justice's home, you know, and screaming and yelling out front of her house because of the opposite. I think they probably would have been saying something about how dare these people get there and intimidate, you know? I don't think they're playing fair here, is what I mean.
No, I think that's a very well-taken point, that the idea that they wouldn't say anything if it was, you know, Sonia Sotomayor being assaulted by QAnon or Trumpist protesters. Obviously, we've heard the president recently say that he thinks MAGA is one of the greatest political threats in the country. So clearly, they believe that some forms of protest are illegitimate. They believe that some forms of demonstration aren't worthy of protection. But again, I think what we need to do as conservatives and believers in life is we need to highlight this for the American people. Because when they witness this on their screens, when they see this on the news, they start to recognize that the pro-abortion side of the aisle is not something they want to associate with. They'll start to see that, oh my God, these people are unhinged. They are out of step with the average American, and I cannot support what they're doing.
Yeah. No, you're right. We're talking with Doug Blair. He's a news producer for The Daily Signal. He's a co-host of The Daily Signal podcast. And got written up in the Fox News talking about being at the protest at Justice Brett Kavanaugh's home as one of the scariest things he had witnessed. You know, I want to ask you this, Doug. Do you think that the leak itself on this came from the staff of maybe a liberal justice, or do you think it might have come from a conservative justice, or think somebody that had nothing to do with either side? What do you think?
I mean, the rumor mill in Washington is swirling with ideas. I think the current going theory is that it was a liberal justice clerk who wanted to maybe sway the justices to move in a different direction, right? Because I really want to highlight from what I saw at these protests, it was very clearly designed to intimidate them into voting a specific way. I spoke with one of the protesters before we started moving to Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh's house, and I asked her, what does it mean for you to be going to the justice's home? And she told me, like, point blank, this is personal. I want it to be personal. And they said to me, and that says to me, again, that they don't want this to be a policy debate. They want it to be a debate of, hey, do you want to have, you know, privacy, and do you want to have, you know, the liberty to live in your own home? Well, guess what? You got to vote the way I want you to.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just thinking, let's say that there was a judge, just any judge, you know, in a particular state or a city, major city, and he was presiding over some murder trial. And a bunch of people took to his home like that to try to, I guess, influence his decision if he was to come up with something on a trial like that. I mean, people would be outraged. They would say, how dare you interfere with the judicial process? You have no business going to his house and doing that and intimidating he and his family. And yet, it seems like it's different when it's something like this, you know?
I mean, yeah, I completely agree with you that they feel as if the stakes on this are so enormously high. So let's flip it on its head, right? If gun control was to somehow get to the Supreme Court and maybe a challenge to Heller, which is the sort of preeminent gun control law right now, what do you think they would do if pro-gun activists were to go to Sotomayor or if Kagan's house was to be targeted by protesters? Of course they wouldn't say that this was acceptable. They would say that this is an attempted intimidation, which it would be. I think the consistency that the pro-life side has shown on this topic is that we are willing to go through the processes. We are willing to wait for justice. We are willing to wait for the legal system to do what it's supposed to do. These protesters clearly don't believe that's the case. They believe that it's our way or the highway, and if they don't get what they want, they're going to do something terrible.
Right. Again, we're talking with Doug Blair, news producer for the Daily Signal. Do you think, first of all, do you think that that draft is indeed the current majority feeling, or I should say, the current feeling of the majority of the Supreme Court justices, that it is a legitimate, that it legitimately does echo what they think, sort of on a 5-4 basis?
I mean, it's impossible to know for sure because the draft was a leak from February, right? So this was a relatively old draft. I would imagine, though, that what is happening right now is that they are very seriously considering what the implications are based on what is happening in the streets right now. So I think one of the saddest things about this is we're looking at a decision that either way it goes is going to be tainted by this revelation and by this leak. If they go in one direction where they decide to overturn Roe v. Wade, it's one of the ways that they'll say, oh, well, you know, they were just sank into their ways because they were going to say to the protesters in the streets, oh, you didn't influence my opinion. If they go the other way and they don't vote to overturn Roe v. Wade, it's going to look like they were shamed and they were intimidated.
Intimidated.
So either way. Yeah.
I keep thinking of Supreme Court Head Justice John Roberts, who I think has been so desperately trying to, what's the word? I don't think he likes to make waves. Maybe I should put it that way, you know?
Right.
And this is certainly a case that would make a huge wave, maybe a tsunami wave, right?
Right.
You hear that he's one of the four in the 5-4 that would not want to overturn Roe versus Wade. Because he doesn't want to make that wave. He doesn't want to set that precedent. Do you get that sense?
Right. Well, John Roberts' philosophy has been to avoid politicization of the court. That has been his judicial jurisprudence when he's been on the Supreme Court. One of the things, however, that does need to sort of be recognized here is that there are five justices on the court that have implied that they think that Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided. Obviously, one of the strongest of those was Alito, who is the supposed author of this leaked document. I think in the sense that John Roberts can really influence this is, I mean, it's going to happen, I think, regardless whether he wants it to or not. The question is what will be the extent to which abortion rights are curtailed or the access to abortion is curtailed. I think it's very interesting for us to witness sort of like where this is going to go. I frankly, personally think that what we're seeing is, like I said, that resurgence of a culture of life, and that we're going to see Roe v. Wade either significantly curtailed or just overturned entirely.
Yeah, and of course it's not going to, it doesn't mean it's the end of abortion services. The states will pick it up, and the states, the individual states, will deal with that issue. And you know, a lot of people think that's exactly where it should never have gone to the Supreme Court in the first place. It wasn't something that the federal government should decide on. It was more of a states' rights issue. And, of course, we can go down that road and talk for a long time about it. But in the meantime, Doug Blair, we want to thank you so very much for coming on and giving us your opinion on this. And I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right. Doug Blair, Daily Signal. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, he got good news on two fronts. His wife, she's back on the campaign trail after her battle with cancer. And a judge has dismissed a lawsuit against DeSantis for his legal action against Walt Disney. We're going to talk about that, a few other things, with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tantalk listeners, get your calendars out because Senior Voice America is going to an every morning format from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Your hosts Tim Bryce and Berkeley Badger shall have even more time to discuss politics, religion, finance, and health. So set your dials, you early bird seniors, and join the call-in party every morning, 8 to 10 a.m. on your Tantalk Radio Network. SVA, improving your day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back with you, Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us. Well, Florida First Lady Casey DeSantis made an exultant return to the campaign trail this week in support of her husband, Ron, following her battle with breast cancer. She said, "Governor, I don't know if this sounds very First Lady-like, but damn, it feels good to be here." I bet you got a rousing a round of applause after that. She said, "Let me say this, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter how hard things seem like they are, no matter how hard it feels like you have to pick yourself off the ground or you feel like your back is against the wall, fight. Fight like hell." Good for her. And then a federal judge yesterday dismissed a lawsuit challenging DeSantis with his law dissolving Disney World's Reedy Creek Improvement District. He rejected the claim of a Miami lawyer running, for the Senate. In fact, the guy had no standing. He had no standing. He had no skin in the game other than he wants to be a politician. Anyway, we've got the proprietor of the Barber Poll with us, and he's a very good friend of the DeSantis family, and that was good news, Andrew, to see Casey DeSantis back on the campaign trail.
Yeah, Paul, it was a hell of a fight for her, you know, but she pulled it through, man, and we're all thankful for that, and she's a great first lady for the state of Florida.
Yeah.
And I hope they get another rerun, and I'm quite sure they're going to with all the statistics that I'm seeing.
Yeah. You know, I think they're going to get that rerun. In her closing her remarks, she reflected on a message her father frequently tells her. "Ever since I was little, he would call me on the phone and he'd say, 'Casey, have faith and don't let the bastards win.'" I think she's got some of the spunk of her father there.
There you go. That's how the Americans should be thinking, too.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And then in this thing with Disney, this U.S. District Court judge, a woman, by the way, a George W. Bush appointee, cited many reasons to dismiss the suit against DeSantis, including the court's lack of standing over state issues and the tentative nature of the claims of the plaintiff. So I guess Ron DeSantis must be feeling pretty good right now, and he's getting a lot of attention. People have been, you know, every time anybody is talking about the presidential race, his name is brought up. So he's certainly getting a lot of attention now.
Paul, I got to be honest with you. I think he's getting more attention than Trump does right now.
I think he is, too. We were, by the way, I don't know if you heard the show a little earlier. We were talking about some of these primaries. And, of course, Trump has endorsed a lot of people. And you and I talked about the fact that he's endorsed that in that Pennsylvania race, Dr. Mehmet Oz. But there's a lot of talk about whether or not that guy is a true conservative and what he would do if he would win. But right now, he's got a, I guess, if you believe the polls, he's very close to the top in there.
Yeah, well, we got to see how that turns out. It's like I told you before, right? There's a few people, I don't know why Trump is endorsing him. I mean, just like I told you in District 13 here with Anna Paulina, there was a big thing come out today about her that I was reading with all these atheists. It's unbelievable.
What is it you were reading about Anna Paulina Luna? Now, this is District 13, by the way, the congressional district, which includes St. Petersburg and some areas around that in Pinellas. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, since she's been in high school, she has been having complaints. She goes to the courts and tries to get, what do they call it when you're afraid of somebody?
A restraining order?
A restraining order. She has got all kinds of restraining orders out of everybody who ever went against her, going all the way back to high school. And she's continued to do this. As you know, was it last year or the year before last, somebody was stalking her, and this just keeps going on. She changed her name to Anna Paulina Luna. And it was last name was Wernheim or something.
So in other words, like Anna Paulina Lunatic? Is that what you're trying to imply?
I'm telling you.
I know.
I can't believe he endorsed this girl.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
I have no clue why. It's just like he endorsed Vance. I told you he thought he might have kissed his ring, but you know, more time
J.D. Vance.
Keeps going on and more time keeps going on, and I just keep watching what's happening around here, and I can't wait to the November elections because that's going to tell us what's going to go on in 2024.
I think it's going to be. We were talking, by the way, about Joe Biden, and he, of course, was trying to blame everybody but himself for these very high inflation numbers. We just saw April's numbers again, and they're horrible, just horrible. I mean, people, and you know, every time you drive by the gas station, you know, click a few more pennies per gallon on there.
You know, Paul, you know what? I've been studying this situation, and you know the gas prices are going up. And you know you do not hear the people. I'm sorry, the Americans are complacent. You don't hear them about it. But I'll tell you one thing: that they're making a big mistake on the Democrats, and they're getting the women very upset again with the shortage of baby formula.
That's true. You're right.
I got news for you, my friend. You do not want to get the women mad at you.
You got it, and especially when it comes to feeding the kids.
Okay, they're already started with the schools. You see how the women are going after all the school boards and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
The mothers, well, you haven't seen nothing yet. They can't feed their babies. They're saying there's babies that are dying because they can't get their formula.
Well, it's a very scary situation. I mean, and now that I think about it, I can't think of a product that would be more important than that, you know?
That's right. And I'm telling you what, they start getting the women mad, and they are. They're making the biggest mistake of their life.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, the men, they'll put up with it. They'll moan about the gas a little bit. The women will destroy them, okay?
Yeah, and that's
the path of a mad woman.
And that's normally the group in general, of course, not completely, but normally the group the Democrats rely on are women. Used to be, you know, the women were the ones that they could kind of do a sob story to. But I don't think so anymore. I think a lot of them, it's the other way around now.
Well, Paul, the Democrats are losing a lot of the black vote.
Yes, they are. Definitely. And look at the Hispanic vote.
And that's what I'm saying, the Latino vote, Hispanic, they're losing a lot of that. Now, the women, forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is the women you will hear about. There's no question.
You're probably right. I'm watching, as I said, Biden try to blame everybody, including the kitchen sink, for the rise in prices in general. Of course, he's still blaming Russia, and he's blaming our former Governor Rick Scott. In fact, he said that it's Rick Scott's tax plan that the Republicans are going to use, but that's not true. They've rejected Rick Scott's tax plan, which would include a way of taxing everybody so that everybody had a little skin in the game, as it were.
Well, they should, Paul. 50% of the Americans do not pay tax.
That's what we talked about. You're right.
Okay, and they need to pay something. I don't care if it's out of their disability check. They need to pay tax on it.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else.
I always thought, do you remember Steve Forbes and his flat tax? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
I always thought that that was a rather fair way of doing it, because no matter what you made, you would the same percentage would apply to you as it would apply to a millionaire.
That's right. No different.
No different. And it would be fairly simple, you know, fairly simple.
That's why they rejected it, Paul.
And they rejected it.
That's because it was simple and it would work.
Yeah. Well, you know, all of the lobbying groups for all of the different tax deductions and this and that and the other thing were in there howling. So you couldn't simplify it because of that, apparently. And
Paul, it's like I told you. I know somebody personally, 3 children, 1 girl, 1 father for 1 child and 1 father for the 2 children, 2 separate fathers. The girl doesn't work. Okay, living with the husband, and not even the husband, living with the boyfriend, this girl got $9,000 in a tax return this year and never paid a dime.
How'd that happen?
I guess they give them earned income credits for the kids.
Is that how, and they just sent you a check?
They sent her a check, Paul, for $9,000.
Oh, my God.
Has not worked, okay? Father, 3 kids, 2 different fathers. One of the fathers, they're not married, and she gets this money. Plus, she gets subsidized.
Yeah, and if it's terrible. It's like when they were sending out these checks during, whenever the government starts sending checks out to people, you know you're going to have fraud. You know that something's going to go wrong. It's just a perfect example of not wanting the federal government to be involved in the private sector.
Well, you know what else I'm curious about? We know how much the United States gives Ukraine. They're giving, what, $36 billion?
Oh, yeah, we're giving them
$40 billion,
I think it is now.
How come I don't know or hear what the other countries have given?
It's not as... There's nobody close.
Okay.
There's nobody close.
Yeah, well, I think Biden, like I told you, I believe this guy is compromised by Russia and Ukraine and China, and he's getting it from all angles. He's got to give Russia, he's got to give the Ukraine just enough equipment that they can't beat Russia with it. And Russia makes sure they can't give him the equipment, and China's just holding their thumb over his head. They're ready to push down on it.
Yeah, you know,
they all got stuff on him.
Because of the Roe versus Wade and all these other things with inflation going on and the economy in our country, this whole Ukraine war has been pushed to the back page. You don't hear as much about it more recently. However, go ahead.
Because they're worried about abortion, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing they should be even freaking worried about, abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? 50 years ago, this law was put in. Just let it go and leave it where it is.
Who cares? You think Roe versus Wade should be kept on the books?
Paul, at this point, it's like I told you, I think they should give the women free birth control pills. They wouldn't have to worry about abortion.
Okay.
And smarten up the women.
Yeah.
Okay? It's called educate them. They know where the babies come from, and
mm-hmm.
they know how they can stop from getting pregnant.
Yeah.
It shouldn't even be a question in today's world.
Well, I think right now everybody's talking back and forth about it. We'll see where all of that goes, my friend, but...
Hey, I believe in I'm pro-life, Paul.
Oh, I know that.
You know? Okay, I'm pro-life. But it's like I said, you got all these stupid people out there that aren't handling their life properly. Take the pill. Take the morning after pill. That simple.
Actually, I think you have a very good point. People can take, with all of the different pills and drugs that are available to prevent that conception from occurring, you shouldn't usually have a problem if you have any kind of personal responsibility.
That's right. Like I said, it shouldn't even be nothing. The country's falling apart. Gas is $4.30 a gallon. Inflation is 8.5%. There's a war going on in the world. China's getting ready to take over, Taiwan? And we're sitting here worried about abortion?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Paul. Their priorities are messed up.
Well, I'll say one thing. Certainly a lot of news keeps us going here. Andrew, my friend, it is always a pleasure to talk with you and get your perspective on things. And I look forward to talking with you again, my friend, on Friday.
All right, Paul. You guys have a good day.
All right. Thank you, sir. The master barber himself, by the way, he's a great barber. Gives you a great haircut. All right. We're going to take our final break. But when we come back, another edition of Campus Quackery. We set our sights on a school in Rhode Island that wants to end the honors program there.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final portion of Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network, and we're always glad when you can join us. But hey, sometimes you can't. So thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website and you can listen to the programs that you missed because he puts them all on podcast. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button and away you go. Hey, Ed, I just noticed here on the news, just broke, I guess. There was. Did you see about this passenger that landed this plane in Palm Beach, a passenger with no flying experience? He landed a Cessna Caravan with the help of air traffic control after the pilot had an apparent medical emergency and became incoherent.
Yeah, a pretty big plane, too. Single engine prop plane, but still pretty sizable plane.
It was.
Apparently, the pilot passed out and traffic control talked him down. Yeah. So,
guy says, I've got a serious situation here. My pilot has gone incoherent. Right. I have no idea how to fly the airplane. The unnamed passenger calmly radioed air traffic control. Wow.
I mean, these days, planes are pretty, well, I don't want to say they're easy to fly. If you can drive a car, I mean, they can pretty much give you the basics and what to watch out for and whatnot. And
it's coming down and touching that ground at that speed that kind of scares me, but I guess if you keep the nose up, right?
Yeah, it's keeping the nose up, and there's a glide path that you come down, and you know, they'll tell you how far you've gotten, and the runways are big enough that, I mean, I think it could take off and land three times.
Have you ever flown a plane?
I did, just, you know, we were up, and I took the controls for a little bit, but I've never tried landing.
You never landed?
No,
no. Okay. Anyway, let's go to Rhode Island and dust off Wilbur, by the way. This is Barrington, Rhode Island. Don't know exactly where it is, but public schools there are very good in Rhode Island, according to this story, among the best in the state. And many people move into that district because the academic rigor that sets their kids up for attending the prestigious schools like Ivy League schools and receiving scholarships. But now, they've got something called de-leveling. Now, that, to me, sounds pretty scary in itself. It's a system of universal learning implemented in Barrington. which wants to include the most vulnerable students, they call them, students with learning disabilities and the like. And what they are doing basically is dumbing down the kids because they want to take away these honors programs that some of these kids are able to get into while they're in the school, you know, where they kind of get advanced courses. I remember in our high school we had that kind of a thing, and if you were smart enough to get into it, what the hell, you know? And you were taught a little bit more, and you came out even better. Right. So the school board had all kinds of parents go to their March 30th meeting complaining about this de-leveling. And let's see here. A parent who identified himself as a dentist with immigrant parents said, you guys are doing this, in other words, taking away the honors programs at the school. You guys are doing this for someone like me. My parents didn't speak English. Nobody asked me. I'm the person that you're supposedly trying to help. You guys have your own idea of what diversity, equity, and inclusion means, and it doesn't take into account an actual person that has been through some of the worst public schools, lives in neighborhoods where people are shooting each other, and then I come here. That's where, you know, where I want to be. In other words, don't take away these kinds of things. Yeah. And I agree with them. I agree with them. So there you go. All right, my friend, before we get to our top 10, I was watching our beloved Lightning play up in Toronto, and they took a 2-0 lead in the first period. And I thought, here we go again. They're looking good.
Yep.
Didn't end up that way.
No.
What happened? They came, Toronto came back in the second period.
They just looked like they took their foot off the gas.
Yeah, they did.
And
they let up.
They looked very slow.
But and, not in the first period.
Well,
they
no,
were good.
But I don't know what's going on.
Do you think they tire out? Do you think that...
is it the altitude there or what? I don't know.
It's flat as a pancake
in Toronto.
That's
what I'm talking about, but, you know, I don't know what the problem is, but they got two chances to figure it out.
They do indeed.
Yeah.
They'll be
back here 7:30 tomorrow night.
Yeah. And they got to win.
They got to win, and then they got to go back there on Saturday night and try to win it up there.
You are correct.
Yep.
One thing in the Lightning's favor is that they never lose after having lost. In other words, they always come back and win the next game. We'll see what happens there. All right. We've got an interesting... in fact, we've done this before over the years. The Social Security Administration puts out a list of the most popular names of boys and girls for the year, right? Mm-hmm. When babies are born. So we're going to start out today with the top 10 boys' names that were used in 2021. And then on Friday, Ed, we'll do the top 10 girls' names. Is that fair? All right. So here we go. And then we'll find out if Ed has any clue, if he's listening to these names, of what number one will be.
Mm.
But here we go. Number 10, Theodore. Number 10 is Theodore. Would you name your child Theodore?
No.
I used to think Theodore was kind of one of those names I wouldn't want. Now, of course, he'll end up being called
Teddy.
Teddy, yeah. Okay. Number 9, Henry. How about Henry? Would you like to be called Hank when you grew up?
No.
Because Henry's turned into Hanks. Okay. Number 8, how about Lucas?
I like Lucas.
You like Lucas?
Yeah.
Call you Luke, I guess,
right? Call you Luke.
Okay. I've got a nephew named Luke. Number 7, Benjamin.
Ben?
Yeah, you like that?
That's a common name.
Very common.
Very common name.
Good enough for Ben Franklin, wasn't it? Number 6. Now, this one to me would be like almost number one in most cases, but not anymore. William.
Mm.
You know, that's about the most common name you can think of.
Bill, Billy.
Bill, hey, Billy.
When you sign your name, you sign cursive, right? Do they still teach cursive in schools?
I'd like to know. I don't think so.
Really?
I'm afraid that people can't write a legitimate sentence in cursive anymore.
So you would print your name like on a check? Well, they don't know what checks are.
We should look at envelopes. The mailman would know because he gets all these envelopes and sees how people are writing those things, whether it's cursive or printing. But I'll bet it's printing.
Mm.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I think so, too. All right. Number 5, James. That's another name. It'll be around forever. Mm. You know?
Jim.
Jim, Jimmy. Number four.
Jimbo.
Jimbo, yep. Now, this is an interesting name. It's a biblical name, Elijah. Can you believe that Elijah was number four?
Mm.
Elijah? That's what the Social Security says. All right, number three. Oliver.
Oliver?
Yeah.
Good
How'd
God.
How'd you like to be called Ollie?
Poor kid.
Hi, Ollie. Where's Ollie when we need him?
Ollie gets his lunch money taken every day.
Number two. Talk about biblical Noah.
Ah, I thought Noah would be number one.
Did you? Yeah. Really? Yeah. I wouldn't have thought Noah would have been in.
That's the number one biblical name, I think.
Yeah. Noah. All right. Well, it's not number one, but I'm going to ask you, who do you think, or what name do you think, came out number one?
I don't know. I had all my eggs into Noah.
Okay. No problem. I would never have guessed this. Liam.
What?
Liam. L-I-A-M. Liam.
Okay.
The only one I've ever heard named Liam is the actor Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson,
the Irish actor.
Good actor, too.
He is. I like him. But Liam is number one. And did you know that it's been number one for a couple of years?
Mm-hmm.
Liam? So there you go. We got some extra time.
He did all those movies where his family got taken, right?
Yes. He's made multi-millions
of
dollars.
He wasn't
dollars.
Very good because they keep getting taken.
I know. He's not... It's his daughter. It's his wife.
First it was his daughter.
You know?
And then his daughter and his wife.
It's going to be his...
And his wife got killed.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Will they bring her back again? Because he's got to continue
to do it. He did a train one, too.
He was on a plane.
Yeah, that maybe it was a plane, those things.
He was on a plane. He might have done a train.
Unchartered or something. I can't remember.
He's one of these guys who's become like a Tom Cruise or what's the guy that does all of those? He's done about five or six of them. Oh, I can't think of his name now. But anyway, it's like Tom Cruise. There's a bunch of people
that
are making millions of dollars doing those kinds of movies, you know, where they can kill everybody around them.
He does some good movies, though.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
I enjoy his movies.
Yeah, but Liam Neeson, he's got that that sympathetic nature or something about him. He doesn't, you know, he comes across as somewhat human or something. I don't know.
He's got that Clint Eastwood look to him, too, you know?
And you notice how he lumbers around?
Yeah.
He kind of lumbers, you know?
Yeah.
I've often wondered if he could really hold his own in a fight like that. Anyway, we thank you so very much for being with us. We will indeed be back again on Friday. In the meantime, be safe and remember that freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News.